on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield IMG College, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? It's another edition of YokeCast. As we continue through championship season, we are coming down to the finish line. And I don't know about you, but it kind of makes me a little bit sad. It makes me happy knowing that once we get through this year, hoping that once we get through this season and we take a little summer break, then maybe next year we'll be back to full stadiums, arenas, all of that good stuff, right? No mask mandates. That's what we're all hoping for. Come on, we can be on the same team. We can understand that masks are good and have had a purpose to serve, but we can also be really excited to see them fade away very, very quickly here over the summer, we hope, and we'll see how it goes. But we are a championship season. We continue through. We've had the golf championships, and we continue to wind down, and now we have focused this week on the softball Summit League tournament and the Summit League Outdoor Track and Field Championships held right in Vermilion. What a tremendous deal to be able to host that. And obviously, it's all part of a rotation. But still, to be able to put together a facility like the administration did, like the athletic administration did several years ago, to put that facility together, see it become a reality, and then be able to play host to events throughout the year. I mean, this was not possible not that long ago, right? And now it is. Now it is because it's a state-of-the-art facility at Lillibridge Track and Field Complex, Gottsleben Field. It's incredible, and it's a really cool setup. So I hope if you are not doing anything this weekend or you get the opportunity, I hope you make it over to see how things go, because South Dakota is home to the best high jump squad in the country, one of the best pole vault squads in the entire country, and a men's track and field team that has been ranked in the top 25 this season. So it's really, really cool. And hopefully you get a chance to check that out if you can this weekend. It is all weekend long through Saturday, I should say. So see if there's tickets available and make your way over and enjoy. I think there's some sunshine in the forecast. Oh, there's always a possibility of rain, right? Anytime you have a track meet in the state of South Dakota, right? Anybody who's dealt with the state track, anything like that, there's always a chance of rain. Looks like there is that chance of rain this week, but you know what? We can't shy away from the rain either. So we'll see how things play out. And hopefully good enough weather to get them through the weekend and have athletes compete at their very, very best level. Speaking of track, we are going to go the track direction here on the podcast today. Caleb Ellis will join us. He is a sixth-year senior. He's the only member of the track and field team that was a part of hosting this event in 2016. We'll tell you why all coming up in the podcast. Why is he around for year number six? Why is it taking him so long to get through school? It may or may not be what you think. That's coming up in the podcast today. Caleb Ellis, a sixth-year senior from Brookings, South Dakota, who is a pole vaulter for the University of South Dakota. But we will get it started with David Herbster. He is the athletics director at the University of South Dakota. David, we're winding down here on the spring season and really on the college athletics season, if you will, over the next couple of weeks. Just a couple of sports still kind of in action, trying to make their run. And we'll start with softball. I know they're in action this week in the Summit League tournament. They wrapped up their regular season last week on the road at Omaha. Actually got a win in their final game of the regular season, kind of trying to build that momentum going into the Summit League softball tournament.
It was nice to see them win that that final game. I think probably a disappointing series for them, for what they, you know, how they felt going into it. But, you know, the challenge is they hadn't played in almost 2 weeks because of the cancellation of the Western Illinois series. And so we have playing Kansas City in the first round of the Summit League Championships, a team that, you know, early in the year, we split with them here in Vermilion on that weekend. But, you know, once you get into the tournament, it's everybody's record is 0-0, and it's time to, you know, go get it. So looking forward to it. I mean, I think, you know, it's weird, right? Because, you know, as busy as we were a month or 2 months ago, now we're only talking about softball and track now. And we're really starting to wrap things up. So it's a little surreal to realize that this is all kind of the sports season itself is drawing to a close.
You know, with the softball tournament, it's interesting because some tournaments obviously were shortened because of the COVID protocols and the pandemic ongoing and all of that stuff. But softball able to still have six teams in their tournament. What was the conversation, or was there much conversation on how to go about this year's Summit League softball tournament?
You know, it wasn't as intensive a conversation as, let's say, trying to deal with basketball or trying to deal with volleyball or some of these others, with it being an outdoor sport and softball being considered a low risk transmission sport. It was really not a detailed conversation with, you know, amongst the joint council or the schools within the Summit League. They really just kind of came out and said, we're going to run it just like we have in the past. And we were all didn't really see or have a problem with it. And primarily with it being an outside sport, to just keep it and give these athletes the experience that they all missed last year.
Yeah, well, hopefully things go well. We'll see how things play out in the Summit League softball tournament. And, you know, as we talk about Summit League championships, I know there's a lot of excitement. I know there's probably a little anxiety, a little stress as USD prepares to host the Summit League Outdoor Track and Field Championships. Really a lot of excitement to be able to host that event on campus in a facility that you were able to oversee and help bring to life here at USD.
Yeah, you know, we definitely looking forward to it. And I can tell you, based on some of the meets we've run this year, the outdoor meets we've run this year, let alone one we ran just last week, last Friday, this will almost be a piece of cake with the number of teams and the number of athletes that we'll be running here for the next 3 days or for the current 3 days. So there's a little bit of stress. I mean, probably more so on the coaches than our part, but we have such a good, not only staff, but our volunteer network in running track meets. They don't necessarily run themselves. Our people run them, but we have such good people that help us in all of the events. And again, because you need to have good volunteers. I don't care if you're in the throws cage or you're at the high jump, the pole vault, starting line, finish line, all that kind of stuff. It's a pretty well-oiled machine. I'm sure there's going to be things that might go wrong that will have me or Lucky or Corey Jenkins pulling their hair out. But the fans and the competitors and the coaches are probably not going to know about any of them. So for 3 days, it's going to be, look, we got great weather, knock on wood, and it should be just a showcase of some unbelievable talent in track and field. So tickets are still available. Call our ticket office or stop in. And the schedule of events is on our website. So definitely encourage everybody to come in and take in a little bit of the event.
It's always amazing how people come together and volunteer to put on such a big event like that. And really, we see it all the time with USD and the support that the community of Vermillion has for the University of South Dakota.
Right. It is. It is something else. And it's been built over time. And give Lucky Huber and Dave Gottschalk a lot of credit for doing what they did and building the kind of the culture of track in this community and frankly in this region. You know, the Dome for years was kind of the mecca for indoor track, both college and high school, especially the first, you know, February, March, and when you're starting to run indoor track meets, it was the only place that you could run track prior to the outdoor season. So we got good at it, not only because we had to, but because we could, because we had the Dome.
How important is it to you to be able to host? This is the second time you've been able to host the Summit League Outdoor Championship since the new facility opened. But how important is that to you to be able to bring the Summit League Championships to Vermillion after this big project of putting together this type of facility?
You know, there's only about four, maybe five of us in the Summit League that have tracks that you can host a track meet at. And so we kind of do it on a rotation. So it's kind of like you have to wait your turn, right? But when we do it, I think you'll find, you know, our coaches and the coaches from the other programs really enjoy coming here. And certainly we enjoy putting them on because it showcases the university, it showcases Vermilion, and it showcases, frankly, how great of a track that we have here. So you kind of like to open your doors and have a little bit of an open house. Now this open house is going to last 3 days, and there's going to be about, I don't know, 300 or 400 athletes kind of running through, and good fan support. But we take a lot of pride in being able to run meets and do events really well. And so to get that opportunity, and frankly, everything that we've been through this past year, this is one of those things that we really enjoy doing.
Well, we'll look forward to the Summit League Outdoor Track and Field Championships. They go through Saturday at the Lillibridge Track Complex and Gottsleben Field. You know, when we were talking about softball, one thing I forgot to touch on, I know you had mentioned it, but softball really disappointed. Their final home series of the season was wiped out, unfortunately, due to COVID issues with Western Illinois. But, you know, that was senior weekend as well. And I always think, you know, it's tough to lose games, obviously, in this pandemic year. Especially home games, but man, really tough to lose the final home games on your schedule, because that's really a celebration for some student athletes who are ending their time at USD. What a disappointing weekend a couple of weeks ago.
It really was, you know, but, you know, we got thrown a bunch of lemons, so we made lemonade, right? We still had our senior day. We basically ran an inter-squad scrimmage, and still, so we had they still got a chance to play. The families and the parents, they still came in for because we did it just on Saturday, and they still came in on Saturday. So disappointed that we weren't able to actually compete against Western Illinois for that series, but still had an opportunity to try to make senior day still be special for them and still conduct all of the ceremonies and all the things that we do that we would have done prior to the game, and recognizing each and every one of the seniors. So disappointing on one side, but we made the best out of it, and they still made sure that we took care of our student athletes and celebrated them for their careers here at USD.
You know, some fans were understandably frustrated with seeing the softball team lose home games, and it becomes more frustrating when you see it's the second time that a team has lost home games with the same opponent in Western Illinois. A challenging year for so many people, but hopefully Western Illinois, as we get back to some things this next year, hopefully they'll still come back to Vermilion to play a game.
Well, I tell you what, I'm not sure I'm going to take any more phone calls from the athletic director, because it seems like this year the three calls that I had with her, at least in the last several months, were canceling a football game and then moving it to the end of the year and then canceling that football game and then canceling this series. I kind of joked with her. I said, Danielle, I'm not taking your calls anymore. You're just going to have to come and play. I'm not doing that again. But it's unfortunate. It really is. And it's, you know, some teams seem to be snake bitten. You know, early on, I think Omaha got snake bitten quite a bit. Kansas City got bit quite a bit. Denver did as well. So we just happened to get it several times by the same opponent. And it's unfortunate, but I think everything, again, we just tried to make the best out of everything that we could.
Well, and the reality is, you know, every program, every school has dealt with it. It just hasn't always ended up costing home games. So you've just seen it all year long in different sports throughout the year. So let's get rid of it. Let's get back to normal here in the upcoming fall. And speaking of moving forward, I know this summer there's always a lot of events that USD's a part of, always putting on the golf outings. And the first one of the year coming up next week in Yankton, the Howling Pack golf outing. It's a good time to get out and just enjoy a day on the golf course.
Really looking forward to it, just to be able to get out again, right, and get into that mode of kind of bringing Coyote Nation together. So, yeah, next month, next Friday, I got to figure out where my golf clubs are. I haven't picked up a golf club once yet, but not that really matters with my game. But, yeah, the Yankton Howling Pack is doing a golf outing at Hillcrest. Golf club out there. So, hey, foursomes are still open. So I think if folks want to golf, go to our website or the Howling Pack Facebook page, and you can get a little more details on who to call to try to sign up or register for that. But yeah, that's just the first one. So May 21st, it's right around the corner. And then the next one's June 4th. That's the one here in Vermilion, the Charlie Open. And so those things are filling up fast. And so But after that, we kind of start rolling back into, you know, the month of June. I think, John, we got, what, about almost 20 events that we're doing over the course of the summer from May to the mid-August. So we start with the Yankton Hallingpad Golf Tournament, and I think we end up at Riverboat Days in Yankton in like August 20th, 21st, 22nd timeframe. In between there, there's one of my favorites, the Tyndall Hot Dog Night. You got check days in Tabor, teapot days in Tea, and we'll be out in Rapid City and Centerville, Lenox, Jefferson, Byberg. You got a golf tournament in Beersford in August. So, yeah, it's going to be a pretty full summer, but it's so good to have a full summer and to be able to get out and have the opportunity to have a full summer. So as busy as it looks right now, those are actually fun events to go to.
Well, wherever you attend this summer, whatever you do, there's a good chance there's going to be some Coyote Nation there representing in some capacity. So we'll look forward to all that this summer. David, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend hosting the Summit League Outdoor Track Championships. We'll look forward to seeing how things go, and hopefully a lot of success for the student athletes.
Oh, thanks, John. Really appreciate it. Appreciate you, man.
He's David Herbster, the athletics director at the University of South Dakota. Okay, Yotes fans, let's bank some noise. First Dakota National Bank is here to help you reach all of your financial goals. Bank some noise with First Dakota at firstdakota.com. Member FDIC. Well, David Herbster was talking about the golf events coming up this summer, and of course there's the one in Yankton, which is coming up next Friday. If you can get a team in, do so. Hillcrest Golf Club, it's a tremendous course, and you'll enjoy it. So get your team together, come hang out in Yankton next Friday, and then you can hang out in Vermilion. Come hang out in Vermilion for the Charlie Coyote Open, and that of course is at the Bluffs Golf Course, and the Bluffs has been a tremendous supporter of the University of South Dakota. And right now, the Bluffs Golf Course in Vermilion is featuring half-price special for first-time adult or family memberships. Go to thebluffsgc.com or call 677-7058 for more information. A big thank you to the Bluffs Golf Course for their support of Coyote Athletics. We turn our attention now to a sixth-year senior on the track and field team. He is a pole vaulter from Brookings, South Dakota. Caleb Ellis joins us to talk about his experience at USD and why it's taken him so long to get through college. He was the only member of this track and field team that was a part of hosting the last time South Dakota did it, hosting this Summit League Outdoor Track and Field Championships back in 2016. Caleb, you prepare to get close to wrapping up the track season and really your career as you look at hosting the Summit League Championships this week in Vermilion at the track complex. Let's start with that. When you think about the opportunity to compete for a Summit League championship in your own backyard, you know, how cool is that to know that USD has put itself in a position to be able to host an event like this?
I think it's really special that we're able to host such a big meet on such a great facility. The last time that I can remember it being here was right as it was first built. I think it was in 2015 or 16, we hosted the conference meet here outdoors as well, and yeah, it was a great time, and having a home court advantage is you can't complain too much about that. So we're just hoping that the weather holds out and we're gonna do as many cool things as possible.
Now, you grew up in the state of South Dakota in Brookings, and you're in school in Vermilion, so you know a little bit about the weather and trying to hope that it holds out, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, honestly, at this point, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I woke up and it was snowing. It wasn't blizzard by any means, but it was snowing. So yes, we have very temperamental weather here. So we're just fingers crossed that the track gods are smiling on us that day.
Now, you mentioned the last time USD hosted the Outdoor Summit League Championships, it was, I believe, the spring of 2016. I think you might be the only one on your team that experienced the opportunity to host, and we'll get into the reasons why here in a little bit, but this is the second time for you to get to be a part of a home court advantage, if you will, home track advantage for the Summit League Championships. Do you offer any advice to the rest of your teammates?
Yeah, I have been here quite a while, and I'm reminded that quite often by my freshman teammates who are 6 years or plus younger than me. So just advice is just to remember that, like, this is our home. People have to come here to our home and try and beat us at what we've been practicing all year and for multiple years. So it's, we're the ones that they have to kick off, and it's, I think it's easier to defend it than to claw for it. So just know that we've got a little bit of home court magic here that's definitely going to work in our favor, I feel.
You came to South Dakota after winning the high school state championship in 2015. Your winning vault was 14 feet 9 inches, and I believe that year you had cleared 16 feet in your senior season. But now as you've gone through your collegiate career, you've been able to elevate that height. What has that process been like for you as you continue to try to move the bar higher and higher?
Honestly, it's been a blessing in and of itself to start off there, but it's also been a little frustrating because the world of our sport is centimeters of personal best at a time, which is kind of frustrating. Like you said, I left high school being a 16 foot one time jumper and a mediocre, like 15 and a half foot jumper. So coming to a school that was known for its pole vaults, known for Derek Miles, Bethany, Emily Grove at the time, like it was crazy that like a South Dakota kid was going to get to be a part of one of the best pole vault squads in the nation, who gets to be coached by a three-time Olympian. So it was pretty surreal, and I felt like this entire time I've tried to prove myself, because I mean, we've got some great jumpers here over the last half a decade with Chris, Ethan Bray. We've got our freshman from Estonia, and we've got some great jumpers both on the male and female side. So I'm just trying to hold my place and do what I can against some of these other great teammates that I have.
What has, to try to put that into perspective, as you look at a men's track and field team that this year has spent time in the top 25. You've got one of the best, or the best high jump squad in the country. You've got one of the best pole vault squads in the entire country. How do you put that into perspective, that in South Dakota, of all places, you could be a part of one of the best men's track and field teams in the entire country?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about. I don't feel like we've dwelled on that a whole lot. It's a cool like unofficial title to have. I guess it is official, but no one like really cares about it unless you're in our small little world. But it is really cool just to see that like Vermilion, South Dakota, kind of in like nowhere, is able to have that title. It's pretty cool. And for the last almost 4 years, we did have the best male vault squad in the country. And I believe last year we had the best male and female vault squad in the country. Kansas has kicked it up a gear, and they've since taken that spot. But I mean, anytime that we come to a track meet or vault squads come to our meets, we roll pretty deep, and we hold a, people know who we are. And it's crazy to think that just being from a small town in South Dakota, that we are nationally known in the track and field world. So it's pretty cool to be a part of that.
You're having the best season of your career so far this year, and I believe you've hit 17 feet both indoor and outdoor this season. What has this year meant to you as you have been able, after taking a little time off, and again, we'll get into that in a moment, but to return to USD and to be at your best right now in this season?
It's great. I personally don't like that it took me so long to get here, and looking back, I made choices in my younger years in college that were not conducive to having a very good jump year. I've always been a mid 16-foot jumper up until this point, but this year being my last year, I really focused on my diet, my choices outside of practice, kind of just what I was doing to make my jump better and more efficient, just to see what I can do. And again, being seeing everything, hindsight is 20/20. And if I could have done that a little bit earlier on in my career, I'd be further along. But I'm by no means disappointed. I'm definitely happy with what I've done, and the season's not over yet, so I think I got some more. But having a young, immature mindset was definitely something that held me back. But unfortunately, you kind of have to experience a lot of things for yourself to really appreciate like what can happen. And I think that just comes with age and experience. But no, this year's been great, and definitely going to try and keep going.
Well, we've talked to you a couple of times about you being around USD and leaving USD and coming back and that kind of thing. And you've said you're reminded by your teammates that you're older than all of them on a consistent basis. And that was due to you being a part of the military. So how did you get involved in the military, or when did you realize that that might be a path that was going to be for you?
I probably realized it probably around 10 or 12. I'd go and get a haircut with my mom, and I'd say, I want the military haircut. I didn't even know what it meant. I just wanted a military haircut. And I've got extensive family in the military that has definitely influenced me my entire life. My stepmom is currently in the South Dakota National Guard. She works there full time. My dad did 20 years in the Army Reserve, and I've got grandpas, aunts, and uncles in almost every branch of the military, reaching as far back as World War I. And so, yeah, when I was 17, I decided that that's what I wanted to do. I'm able-bodied. I love our country, and if I can do something to give a little bit back, then I decided to do that. But yes, it has caused it's caused my college and athletic experience to be prolonged and definitely longer than usual.
You talk about all your family that has been in the military. Did you feel pressured to be a part of it because everyone else had, or was it something that kind of maybe was built into your fabric and it just came natural to you?
I think it more so came natural. I was none of my parental figures growing up ever pressured me to do anything except be a good person and do the best that you can. So the pressure was always positive. And like you said, I think it was more just kind of how I was raised, with the rules, the discipline, the respect, just how you talk. All of that was stemmed in one way or another from military, because my old man being 20 years, it comes out in everyday life with how we communicate, with how we expect things to be done, with how you interact with people. So by the time the choice came up, just talking to some of the recruiters, to other people, it was like I was talking to my dad, just having a regular conversation. So I kind of felt like I fit in, and it was just something that I was already doing. I might as well sign the contract, make a little bit of money, and wear the uniform.
So as you started to get into that, and you get into USD, and you start in your pole vault career, and you just start getting into understanding pole vault at the collegiate level and what Coach Derek Miles wants you to do, and then all of the sudden it's time to leave USD because you had been deployed, I believe I read, to Guantanamo Bay. What was that moment like for you? We talked about it's built into you that you were going to be a part of the military. You knew that this was a possibility, but when the moment came, what was your reaction?
Ah, man, that was a long time ago. I believe it was most, I was nervous. I wasn't going to be around my family for a year. I talked to Derek and my coaches about it, and I was worried about, like, not having a spot when I came back or kind of just being forgotten about, stuff like that. But the coaches, my family, everyone was very supportive. They're like, yeah, like, you have a duty, and we respect that, and we get it. So when you come back, we'll pick up your training, and we'll get you back into it. So having that support system definitely helped alleviate some of the pressure and anxiety of not being home, and that allowed me to focus on our mission and not have anything kind of mentally holding me back as I was gone.
How did that affect your pole vault and some of that as you came back from that experience? How did being away impact where you were at in your training and what you had to do to kind of get yourself headed the right direction in pole vault once you returned?
Oh, it completely changed my training because we preach about speed, endurance, agility, flexibility, being explosive, stuff like that, kind of like light and fast, especially with pole vault. And when I deployed, we would go to work, you would eat, you'd work out, you might go for a hike or go swimming, and that was it. It was rinse and repeat that cycle for 9-10 months. So I got really into powerlifting, pretty much just picking stuff up and putting it down. As simple as that. And I gained, I want to say, like 12 or 15 pounds. And I came back and I was heavy. I was kind of just this hunk of meat that was relatively slow. I was strong. I could move more weight than almost anyone in the weight room outside of the throwers, but I couldn't pole vault any more efficiently because I was big. And so it did take quite a while to turn the muscle that I had gained into functional muscle for my sport. Because it doesn't matter how much I can squat or deadlift pulling 300-500 pounds. If I can't move my own body weight and run down the runway efficiently, then I'm not doing anyone any favors. So the training difference, it took a little bit to get back into track shape, and that comes with injuries and then the mental game of like not being as strong as I was, or like taking multiple steps back and having to crawl my way forward. It took a long time to kind of bounce back from that and get re-indoctrinated into track.
So I'm curious, as you go through that process, was it a frustrating process, or was it something that you just were able to tackle with the mindset that you've always had?
The mindset was helpful, but coming back from deployment, I had a lot of personal things going on mentally. I wasn't in the best state. Most of my friends had, well, like, life doesn't stop for you. When you're deployed, everything else keeps moving forward and you're just removed from the picture. And then a year later, you're put back into the picture and everything's changed. So I was lucky enough to find my one best friend that helped me out, get through everything. The resilience of the military, that was a huge part of it, but it definitely was a struggle for a while.
Well, you powered through it, no doubt, and now you prepare for the Summit League Championships this upcoming weekend. I'm curious, Caleb, as you, you have talked about your story and shared that. What's your current status with the military and your plans going forward?
Current status of the military is I re-enlisted last year for another 6 years, so in 5 years I will be at 12 years total. I plan on doing my 20. That should see 2 to 4 more deployments, hopefully somewhere else in the world. I don't want to go back to Guantanamo Bay because I've already been there. I want something new. So I'll be doing that. And then I have a government job tentatively lined up for when I graduate. So I'm focusing on getting everything I need to get done for that job and training for track until my career has come to an end.
Well, Caleb, I think I can speak for a lot of people when I say thank you for your service. We appreciate everything that you put forth, and as far as you know, your commitment to the military, and we're hoping for the best for you here as you wrap up your career over the next few weeks, and hopefully good things coming up this weekend at the Summit League Outdoor Championship. Thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it, and all the best this week and moving forward.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Hopefully people come out and show some support. We'll try and put on the show.
He's Caleb Ellis. He'll be competing this week, of course, at the Summit League Outdoor Track and Field Championships, and hopefully his track career can continue with a successful weekend. And certainly applaud him and his efforts as part of the military. His entire family has been a part of the military, pretty much his entire family. And as you heard there, just kind of ingrained into him to be a part of the military, and you can tell he's proud to continue his enlistment into the military. So we'll see how things play out for him. All the best to him, certainly, and appreciate his service and your service if you were part of the military as well. Thank you so much for everything that you have done. For the past decade, there's only been one place to watch your favorite coaches, players, and teams, and that place is Midcoast Sports Network, celebrating 10 years of sports this season. All right, time now to take a look at what's going on in Coyote Athletics. It's short and to the point. Of course, Summit League softball tournament. Maybe the Coyotes are still playing by the time that this comes out, but that is this week. Hopefully we'll see them play through the weekend. And, of course, the Summit League Outdoor Track and Field Championships going on as well. And that is it. That's what's going on in Coyote Athletics. Track and field will continue, of course, to the West Preliminaries. That's in College Station, Texas, coming up at the end of the month. But outside of that, not much else going on right now in Coyote Athletics. We will have two more episodes following this one over the next couple of weeks to wrap up our season. We'll take a little break over the summer, and Yotecast plan is to return back in maybe in August or September, sometime in there. But we'll have two more episodes, so very much appreciate your listenership, your time that you spend listening to the podcast, making it all possible. And I'm gonna tease next week. It's a former Coyote, and he's got a story of something that he's dealt with recently, and we're gonna share it all. It's a very long interview and a great conversation. That's all coming up next week on Yotecast. That's it for me this week. I'm John Thayer. Thanks so much for your time, and until next time, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Coyote Sports Network.